fan.
Are you listening? Damn.
Welcome to AFC North Talk. I am Tony Serino. This is AFC North Talk, the best roundtable show all about the AFC North. Today, we're going to be doing our safety rankings. We got to the finish line. For those of you who've been watching all summer, thank you so much for sticking with us. For those of you who are back for the start of the season, we have been doing our rankings for each room in the division week by week. This is the last one, the Super Bowl. Let's call it the Super Bowl. Can we call this the Super Bowl of the rankings, given that there isn't really a bad safety room here, right? You know, you just grade good against good. I don't know where you're going with that, but I like if you think there's a bad one, let's do it.
I mean, are we sure that the Bengals are for real? Yeah. I know they went to the Super Bowl last year, but
maybe. But it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think they caught the Chiefs on a bad day twice. You know what I mean? It's just
it's true. I like to see them do it a third time before I really believe it.
Yeah, you know, they have to do it for a decade for me to buy in, to be honest. You know,
all right, Tom did it for a decade. Before we get in, let's do a little preamble here. I'm Tony Serino. I represent the Pittsburgh Steelers, even though I'm wearing my Tottenham Hotspur hat today. You can see the Steelers stuff in the background. We got Ace from New Stripe City. Ace, how are you?
I'm doing well, sirs. How you guys doing?
Doing well. Then we got Quincy Carrier representing the Cleveland Browns tonight. Quincy, how are you?
Oh man, I'm not doing well. My back hurts. People are arguing about quarterbacks that aren't on the team anymore.
Just another week and a half of Baker Mayfield talk. That's all you guys. Well, another 2 weeks because then
I'm gonna go full Bill Belichick on this whole thing. Yeah. You know, the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. He's gonna be.
All I'm gonna say is, Brown fans, don't you dare be cheering for Baker Mayfield. Week one, I cannot consider you a real fan.
I ain't even Carolina Panthers.
Beat your own team. That is nasty behavior. That's nasty behavior.
Look, man, I just don't care. I don't want to give them any gas. I don't want these people arguing with me. I'm gonna let them be cringy. You know what I mean? They'll get called out for what it is eventually. Like, you know what I mean? But you know, people want to get the jersey and rock the cap. Okay, you know what I mean. Not something I would do, but sure, buddy, go wear the cap and then you're gonna be mad at me about some obscure detail in like week 10 when you're back. It's all right, bro. Like, you know, I am so exhausted. It's been the same argument since January. It's literally been the same argument.
You got two more long weeks of it.
Oh my god, you know, I don't care if the Browns win or lose that game, to be honest with you. People think I'm going to be sad if, like, the Browns lose that game. I don't care. As long as the game ends, I'm going to be happy because it's just like, you know what, man? We don't got to talk. There's no reason to talk about the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers anymore. There's no reason to talk about it. You know what I mean? We ain't crossing paths. We ain't got to talk about it, dog. Unless he becomes a Raven in 2023 when they eventually lose Lamar Jackson. But, you know, that will be a fun topic if that happens.
Yeah, we need to talk about that for a second because our co-host, Sonny, is out with the – I guess he's with the Ravens front office right now because they're not doing it. They're on vacation too.
Trying to get Lamar to sign on the dotted line. Yeah. That's where he's at.
Sonny's on one final vacation before the start of the regular season.
We think Sonny's on a cruise. He's on a Mediterranean trip back to Baltimore to talk to Eric DaCosta. Like, bro, just give him the money so Q doesn't do the victory laugh about Miami. I can't do it.
And we will be rolling up some super chats if you guys want to donate to the Ravens sign Lamar Jackson fund. Feel free to send those super chats in. We'll try to send those into MNT, but they might not.
No. We're not sending it to MNT. We sent it at the Stephen Ross, baby. We sent that money to Miami, dog. What you mean? Sonny ain't here. We not giving that money to them so they can keep him? I'm not doing all this work so he can still be in the North?
That's crazy, bro.
Nah, we need to send that money to Miami. And look,
so remember when we kind of thought that this was getting messy, and they were like, "Oh, you know what? We're good. We're good."
Yeah, yeah. You know? Well, this is when it's the. I mean, we're getting into real messiness here.
Oh yeah, you want to talk about? Can you imagine the Lamar Jackson revenge game when he comes back to Baltimore? With time, I was thinking about this. I've been joking. I don't want this to happen, actually, because like Lamar Jackson on a scramble drill with Tyreek Hill is actually a terrifying thought.
Yeah, not good.
When you think about it. Yeah, with the two best scramble scramble people. Yeah, yeah. That's not going to be good. But then they probably would win a Super Bowl. Which I mean, watching Raven fans watch their former quarterback win the Super Bowl. And it's like, it's not like they didn't like him. They love Lamar, but they just couldn't keep Lamar. And he won it all in Miami. That might be worth it.
My thing has just always been Ravens fans. We were telling you it wasn't hate or anything like this. They mismanaged the situation. And it is blatantly obvious that they've done that to the point that it gets to Lamar liking a picture of him photoshopped into a Dolphins jersey. You have no one to blame. You can't really blame Lamar for this, in my opinion. You have to look at Eric DaCosta in the front office and say, why wasn't this done like months ago, years ago, potentially? Like, why did you wait for this to get to this culmination of Lamar Jackson feeling disrespected, as he rightfully should, playing on a fifth-year option? Like, that's insane.
He's the first one to play on a fifth-year option on his own team, and like, he won the MVP in his rookie deal. That is crazy. Ridiculous.
It's crazy, bro.
Of people, like Baker was looking like he was going to be the first one to play on it. And that made sense given what Baker's output was. But for Lamar to be, and when I say play on it, I'm saying like with their original team.
Kirk
was not a first round pick, not a fifth year option.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's right. That's so, yeah. Of. That's right. Yeah, everybody else, if they played on their fifth-year option, it was with a different team. Maybe Ryan Tannehill. I don't know. Did Ryan Tannehill play on his fifth-year option in Miami, or was he traded before then?
Good question. But, I mean, we know, we're talking about two quarterbacks on different calibers, right? No one on Lamar's caliber has played on their fifth-year option. Or even
Nobody fears Ryan Tannehill on the same level.
Yeah, especially Miami. Remember, there's two Ryan Tannehills, right?
Especially that version of Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah,
Miami Ryan Tannehill made an appearance in the playoffs against the Bengals last year. He popped back up.
Hey, remember me?
No, I'll be hearing from the folks in Tennessee. They can't wait for him to get injured. They be like, "Oh yeah, Malik is in. We need to move." They all in on that Malik.
They are. Yeah.
Thing with it, people are saying, "Oh, see how the Burrow contracts are. We're going to try to sign him next year. We're not waiting until year four, year five. That's not when you do it. You try to get ahead of it in year three and try to do what the Bills did. Try to do what the Chiefs did. You try to get ahead of it as soon as possible because
if you want the discount, and if you want the discount, which the Ravens, that's what they like to do. They like to get the discount. You got to be early for the discount." You can't be.
Although I've always heard the thing of like, why pay? You're going to end up paying like $30 million more now to save, $5 million over the life of a contract, right? I mean, we're talking about a 5-year deal where you're going to go from what 40, if I paid him now, I'd pay him 47. If I paid him next year, it's 48 or whatever, because the needle moves, but it doesn't move drastically. But I know what you're saying.
I mean, it for people reasons, right? Because
you do it. Yeah.
Because you don't want to be in this situation. Is why you do it. Yeah. But hey, man, they want to negotiate this like it's Madden. And I'm wondering how that's going to work out with them.
It's just crazy to me that Ravens fans were blaming Lamar Jackson's mother instead of the front office. And then it comes out he's the one negotiating with them, not his mom. So y'all were trashing his mom.
By the way, I can see the comments right now, and they're like, "Oh, I didn't know Quincy and Ace were in their front office." Hey, dog, we was telling you what was going on when you had your eyes and ears close to all of this. When you're like, "Oh, Quincy, shut up. This will be handled the first week of training camp." What do you know? You know, you're not in the front office. Okay, cool. Well, it's August 31st. It ain't no deal done. So what do you know? Apparently, you know nothing. So
Lamar Jackson's mom was negotiating with him where there was no evidence of that. There was literally no evidence of that.
Yeah. Sonny tweeted it this morning, and it's he thought it was a worrying sign. It might be a nothing thing, but they did restructure the contract of Ronnie Stanley this morning to free up some cap space. You know, again, it seemed like the easiest way for this team to free up some cap space. Sign Lamar to a long-term deal. You pay the vet minimum in year one, and then you know everything is it balloons from there. It might be a nothing deal. I mean, look, they could be it could also could be a good thing if they feel like they can give him or Lamar wants a more front-loaded or flat contract that doesn't do like the min salary year one and then balloon out.
Well, I mean, like I'm gonna be honest with you. Yeah, this is no longer at a point to where it's a nothing deal. Because regardless of it, if this thing goes past Labor Day weekend and then game week flows right into that. So you're really legitimately talking. Talks are probably going to start Friday at 5 o'clock. And at Thursday or Friday at 5 o'clock, right? Then we go into the long weekend. If nothing comes out by the end of that weekend, he's playing on that fifth-year option.
You're working through the weekend, though. I mean, this is not – there are no days off for Lamar Jackson or the Baltimore.
I don't feel like Lamar Jackson is missing the cookout just to argue about his contract status. That's not how –
$250 million fully guaranteed at the kill.
He's like, you know what I want? You know what I want? Like, that's where he's at. Well, they know what he wants.
But and that I think is the thing, is that – is there any, you know, if one side says, I want fully guaranteed, period, end of story, right? There's not a whole lot of, gave you the money here, or what if we gave you, you know, this and a signing bonus, this and a roster bonus, right? Fully guaranteed means, you know, there's no wiggle room in fully guaranteed. And I think that's why this has taken so long, because the Ravens don't want to budge, and neither does Lamar. They're not going to do fully guaranteed, and Lamar wants it.
And I'm just saying, it's a thing if it gets to the regular season. If we get past that week 8 bye and there's no contract extension, this is a story. Like, this is now the main thing people are talking about.
This is that means weird. I just don't – like, I could see if this was an Andy Dalton situation, if this was a Kirk Cousins back then situation. This is Lamar Jackson. Like, this is – have we ever seen this happen? Have you ever seen an elite quarterback – be in a contract dispute over trying to get somebody to fully guarantee his contract? Like,
well, he's ridiculous. The first one to really this is what I'm saying. Lamar's a pioneer in this way, because he's the first one that's trying to get a fully guaranteed contract from the team that drafted him, from the team that he's on, right? The excuse has always been, if you are being acquired by another team, the price is always going to be higher. So that means that the guaranteed contract, that's a normal thing when you're trying to get Deshaun Watson to come here, when you're trying to get Kirk Cousins to come here, right? If you hit the open market, that is what the standard is. It's not the standard for contracts that you're trying to renegotiate. And that's what the Kyler Murray deal, not fully guaranteed. Nobody has gotten a fully guaranteed contract from the team that they were on the year previous. And Minnesota is the exception. They gave a fully guaranteed extension to Kirk Cousins, much less money, but on that level of what Lamar Jackson would be doing. So this is, I think Baltimore is not just facing pressure from Lamar Jackson to get this fully guaranteed contract done. They're also facing pressure from the rest of the league that's like, hey, man, you can't do this, because they know once that domino falls, all of a sudden, you know, Patrick Mahomes is looking like, hey, man, you know, or at least his agent is looking like, hey, you know, it's time to renegotiate, or Justin Herbert, you know, and all these guys are going to come up. So that is the domino. If he gets this, and he would only get a fully guaranteed deal right now, I think, because he doesn't have an agent, because I think any agent would be sitting there telling him it's a risky game. You don't want to go into the season without a contract. Just take the money, right? That's what most agents would tell him right now. Because he does not have an agent, he knows what he wants. I want fully guaranteed. Once he saw that Lamar deal, that Deshaun deal, he saw that as a Lamar deal. That's what I want. Give me that money. Add $20 million on top of it. That's probably a negotiating tactic. He's probably willing to go down to like 235 or something like that. But that's what he wants. And the Ravens aren't going to give it to him, or not looking like they want to give it to him. And I think it's interesting to note that the contract didn't get done last year, because if they didn't feel like he was worth Josh Allen money last year, or whatever happened with that negotiation that fell through, I don't see them giving him fully guaranteed record-breaking. Like I don't know if the Ravens believe in him enough to want to do that. And that's an interesting, like, I've seen Raven fans ask that. Do they actually believe in Lamar? Do they buy into some of the stuff to where he's not a good passer? Like, is this partly the reason that Greg Roman's still there is because they don't trust Lamar to run a more complicated passing offense for whatever reason? Me personally, I think he can run it, but they might have their qualms about it. Maybe they think some of this stuff about Lamar Jackson. It's also important to note, Lamar was not the first pick of the that they went with in the draft that year. They drafted a tight end before they drafted Lamar Jackson. You have to ask yourself, with this going on, what is their commitment level?
Who was that guy?
Hayden Hurst, right? He's on the Bengals right now. The Ozzy saved that last first round of his career, boy, by trading up for Lamar Jackson. You talk about a save. He would have went out on Hayden Hurst after coming in on Ed Reed and Ray Lewis. But that's something to be asked. What is the Ravens' actual commitment level to Lamar Jackson? How good do they think Lamar Jackson is? Because we have not asked that question. We've assumed that they thought he was incredible because we think he's incredible. But maybe they don't think that. And maybe this contract negotiation is showing that because, again, this makes no sense if you think Lamar Jackson is incredible. It does make sense if you do not think he's incredible.
I think, look, breaking the glass of fully guaranteed I mean, this again, I don't think this is any small feat, right? I mean, I don't think that because they won't give him fully guaranteed, that means that they think lesser of Lamar, right? I mean, I think that this deal is going to get done at the last minute, right?
Is it?
I'm saying if it's no. Okay.
Oh, if it gets done, it gets done in the last minute.
It's done at the very, you know, this is an 11th hour, like, you know, someone blinks, right? Yeah, because you don't just, you know, this is not just a jolly stroll through contract lane where it's like, you know, in April, like, yeah, you want fully guaranteed? Sure, I'll take fully guaranteed. All right, guys, we're done here.
Well,
you know,
I'm like, more or less referring to how it didn't get done last year, right? When the price wasn't fully guaranteed.
Right, exactly.
That's where I'm like, why didn't they do that, right? Like, that makes no sense that it got to this point. And now that it's at this point, I think the price went up in a way they weren't anticipating. And if the price went up to a price that you weren't anticipating in the initial price, the sale price, was something you didn't want to pay, I have questions about how committed you are to him, right? Because that's interesting. Because the money that Buffalo gave Josh Allen, I mean, obviously Buffalo was willing to give it. It's just, there's some questions.
If the Bengals were in the same situation, or when we get to the same situation offseason, Joe Burrow could ask for $250 million guaranteed in breast milk from a Cambodian immigrant. We are going to give it to him.
Stadium for him.
You know what? Like, we literally just did it. Like he just said, we switched our name to Paycor State. We are doing things to make sure whatever Joe Burrow asks for, we are willing to give. And that's what you got to be willing to do for your quarterback.
All right, let's keep the show moving here. So, couple announcements here, or like, you know, it's a little preamble before we actually get started in the real show, which is the safety talk. We're going to have a firm schedule throughout the season. So we're going Monday, Wednesday, 5 p.m. start starting next week. So we're going to do two shows next week. We'll do two shows every week between now and whenever the last team is eliminated from the AFC North in the playoffs.
Put it in your Google Calendar right now, all of you. In chat, okay. I want to see your faces, you know what I mean? And make sure you have your alerts on so you can catch anything else that drops. And you know what? Subscribe to the, but follow the Twitter. Follow the Twitter. That's Why aren't you followed on the Twitter? Follow all of us on Twitter. Look, right. Tony be memeing. Ace is not as much as a meme as all of us. He's more like serious and like actually has informal commentary and stuff like
that.
Like,
really, it's good Bengals hype man on Twitter for sure.
Yeah, you know, as much as I do like the research and stuff on Twitter, I'll be like, LOL memes.
Twitter is mostly for memes, and then
it's,
you know,
they used to have a term for it. It's just a shit post place. You know what I mean? Let it out.
I felt weird yesterday when the Steelers made their couple trades they made yesterday, and I was like tweeting out, you know, real numbers for each of these guys. It's like,
yeah, they ain't nobody there for
I need
that.
To get back to, you know, I was just like, I need to get back to just
you trying to analyze stuff. That's for YouTube, Tony. Nobody.
I needed to like wash it off with a Kenny Pickett's better than Joe Burrow.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Just like, yo, hit him with that real quick. You know what I mean?
Okay, and then another thing to talk about, you definitely need to follow AFC North Talk on Twitter. It's AFC North _talk on Twitter, because we're doing a survivor pool again. You can find the link to join the survivor pool there on Twitter. Survivor pool works like this. Every week, you're going to pick a team that you think is going to win that week. You can't use the same team twice. And once everyone is eliminated, we get a winner. We will have a prize for that. We'll announce that prize next week here on AFC North Talk. And there was one other thing that I wanted to tell everyone about, and I forgot it. So we're just going to get right into the show here. As I said, Sonny is not here today, but we do have his safety rankings. And he kept it, unlike me, where when I send a video in, it's like 20 minutes long of just me jibber-jabber for forever. Sonny kept it quite pithy. So this is 5 minutes here. We're going to give Sonny the floor and let him go look at this. Look at these. This is fun. We'll let Sonny go here with his rankings. Can you guys hear this, by the way? Can you not hear that?
I cannot hear it. There is like a share audio button that you might have to hit. It's like they put it in the corner sometimes. But Sonny is actually on a cruise right now, guys.
That's right. This is live on a cruise, yeah.
Cruising right now. He's committed.
He's negotiating Lamar's contract right now.
He has bags under his eyes. It's been a stressful past.
Share audio. Here we go.
Okay. Could you imagine being Sonny and coming off that cruise with no like internet, and then all of a sudden Lamar Jackson is saying, "You know what? I'm not playing in 2022."
Come back to what's happening?
Okay. I know what I wanted to preamble with before we get into Sonny. Of course, the super chats. You guys already mentioned it, but we want you guys to be a part of the show just as much as we are. So we want to get your thoughts on the Lamar situation, and of course, your rankings in the AFC North safety rooms, just like Novastone here. Or if you're new to the show, Novastone is our resident Tom Brady / Ravens fan, but mostly Tom Brady.
I don't think fan is a proper word for him. He's more dedicated than a fan. He is.
No, he is the fan is short for fanatic. And that is exactly right. Like, we aren't fans when you really think about it.
He get paid to do this.
Hey Novastone, another Tom Brady associate. Signing with Joe Burrow. Coincidence there. Wonder what's the reason there.
Novastone here with a $2 super chat said Tom Brady still the number one player at age 45. Players know best. If anything, those NFL rankings you can say every year. They're the best.
You weren't saying that when Lamar won number one in 2019. I want to know what he was super chatting back then.
Jonathan Taylor is the fifth best player in the entire National Football League. You just can't argue this. You can't argue that.
Can't argue it.
Can't argue it. Novastone here with another $2 super chat says, can't wait for Baker to destroy the Browns. Go Baker. Ooh, next week's going to be fun.
So many Browns fans actually want that to happen that I feel so confident that this is going to not happen, because it's like, this is what happened to a Browns fan that wants the Browns to lose. That's when they're not going to lose.
I don't know. Son, or Q, you're very much a stats guy or a numbers guy when it comes to the Thursday night on the road thing. You know, Browns in the opener is another one of those kind of.
Oh, yeah, it can happen. I mean, they just have bad luck in the opener. Yeah. But if it weren't Browns fans that were cheering for Baker Mayfield, and then they're going to bring that bad luck to Carolina, baby. I know that. You know what I mean? The Browns fans, that bad luck travels.
It's an interesting X's and O's matchup. I actually started doing my previews already for next week's games, and I forgot how many players I like on that Carolina defense.
Oh, they got a good defense. Jeremy Chin.
I don't know if it matters for how the Browns are going to attack them. So we'll get to that.
They still got a big boy there too from Auburn a couple years ago.
Derrick
right?
Brown, yeah.
Derrick Brown.
Derrick Brown became a real Derrick Brown. The Derrick Brown at Auburn was better than the Derrick Brown at Carolina so far. But
what's his name down there in Tennessee, Ace?
Oh, Jeremy Simmons.
Big Jeff.
Jeffrey Simmons.
Jeffrey Simmons.
Sorry. Big Jeff. That's a great name for a defensive tackle. Big Jeff. Jeffrey Simmons. Like, it just sounds like a man who do nothing but eat steak and mess people up on the line of scrimmage. Like, you know he's cold when he played defensive tackle, and then the DBs for the Bengals are like, hey, that man good.
That whole line that they had down there was pretty damn good. I was like,
oh. Yeah, they're super underrated, man. Harold Landry's really good in that scheme. I mean, it's
I think the one guy, Danico Autry, is that one of them? Yep. That dude, yeah, he's the real deal.
All right, we got another super chat here. $2 super chat from MA Fire, Mufire. If betting, I like this. If betting, this guy, do you expect Lamar to stay or leave? If I'm betting on it, I'm betting that Lamar stays, because I think someone blinks at the end because this is unprecedented, right? And it's unprecedented for a reason. Usually at the 11th hour, someone blinks and they get the deal done. I would still bet that this deal gets done.
I think it's the better gamble is because I do think it's likely right now. Again, once we get to September, then once we get to like game week, that's when it starts to drop dramatically. But if somebody flinches, I think the question is who's more likely to flinch in this scenario? Because I feel like the only people who have an incentive to flinch that would be worth it, I mean, would be Baltimore at this point, right?
I don't know. Does Lamar want to sit a year out? Because that's the next step. The next step is I'm going to sit out the year in 2023.
Well, what happens when he gets to the tag? Like are they gonna tag him?
They're gonna tag him. They want to tag and trade him.
Don't they have like the tag match where you can just like forfeit your first round picks for?
No, I think the franchise tag is exclusive, right?
The franchise tag is exclusive. Well, I don't know. The Ravens might do something like transition tag him.
No. You franchise him because you want to franchise and trade him. I mean, at the end of the day, that's
You can trade him franchise tag, though, right?
Trade him on the franchise tag. Yeah, exactly.
He's got to get franchised. Whether he signs it is the question.
Well, he's not signing.
I think somebody brought up the possibility of trading him and was crucified for it. Now I think
you did. And they got Huntley. That's right. You know, we keep forgetting about this. They got a guy just behind us.
This is where the NFL's rules and regulations on how many first round picks is going to save a team. Because Lamar Jackson, I think we could all agree, probably worth more than 3 first round picks, but you can't give up more than 3 first round picks to give him. So
a lot of players coming in.
It's gonna be, and in Miami, they're at a disadvantage because they lost the first round pick, right? Because of the Stephen Ross situation. So might be going to Tampa Bay, Nova. You know what I mean? They got that. They got that.
Kyle Trask looks real good.
Yeah, okay. Boy. Kyle Trash.
All right, Soul Train here with a $5 super chat says, "Hey Q, how bad do you think Mary Kay and Tony Grossi want Mayfield to get hit?"
Mary Kay is a professional. I don't think she would do anything like that or say anything like that. But Tony Grossi, oh, that man not professional at all. That man is sitting there holding a grudge. To be fair, he holds a grudge pretty much against anybody who plays quarterback for the Browns. He's like never been he was a fan of Connor Shaw once, but yeah, it's just, you know. I think Miles is going to be more happy if he gets to hit him than anybody else in that stadium, you know, just because he wants to get the sack record, of course, not saying that there's any animosity or anything like that, right?
Ravens Nation here, $5 super chat says, as a Ravens fan, unpopular opinion, but I'm not comfortable giving Lamar a fully guaranteed contract unless he wins the Super Bowl this season.
Why do you care if his contract's guaranteed or not?
A team flexibility.
Team flexibility? What they've been doing with all this flexibility on this rookie deal, and you want flexibility. They have Amari Cooper got traded for a 5th-round pick. Y'all too goddamn cheap to trade for that. Like, no. What are you going to do with this flexibility, Ravens? What are you talking about? We need the flexibility to sign another 40-year-old defensive end? Come on now.
I mean, well, okay. But Calais Campbell. I mean,
it was a good trade, but it's like, come on, dog. What are you talking about? I need the Ravens to be flexible. They're not aggressive. What, are they going to bring in a wide receiver? Come on, dog. They haven't brought in a wide receiver yet. Every wide receiver.
No, they're not bringing a wide receiver. But I mean, let's not act like they're bad in free agency, right? I mean, they're not bad.
They're not bad in free agency, but they could be the same level of free agency buyers that they are right now with Lamar on the contract than they would be without Lamar.
It's the other way, right? And this is, you know, super unpopular opinion or whatnot. But I think this argument probably goes out the window because he's already. I mean, we're in year 5, and there's none of this. But you know, the argument would be, well, you know, with all the wear and tear on him and his play style and the speed and everything,
they're the ones that choose to run him the most.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, we're at a point where this argument is silly, but that would be the argument.
Yeah, and they're the ones that chose to make him the leading rusher, both in attempts and yards, the last 2 years. That's their choice, right? You know, they could have moved him out of the Greg Roman offense into an offense that would require him to be more of a drop back passer. They had the opportunity to put him in one of those offenses last year so they could just see how that looks before they pay him. They have chosen not to do any of this, and then they're going to tell me they don't want to pay for him because of what they chose to do with him? Nah, man. If that doesn't go over with me, and I'm not Lamar Jackson by any means, like, you know what I mean? How is that going to go over with him?
Jupiter Rain here, $2 super chat says, if Lamar leaves, the Ravens get many assets. Win-win. No, yeah, it's not.
You know
what's
better than assets? Getting a guy like Lamar Jackson with one of those assets. I think
you would rather have a quarterback that basically guarantees you 10 wins a season.
Yeah, tell me. I'd
probably rather have that.
I remember when the Browns traded all the, got all those picks for Julio Jones. The Julio Jones trade in 2011.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me tell you how that turned out. Would rather have Julio Jones. You know what I mean? Hey, Ace, would you rather have three first round picks or Ja'Marr Chase?
They offered us the Julio trade before y'all, and we were like, nah, we're gonna take AJ Green.
No, they were like, we're just gonna take AJ Green. We're gonna be all right with AJ Green here. You know what I mean? But nah, we didn't want Julio Jones. Right. We wanted Phil Taylor and a bunch of bums.
Miami offered us, I think, a whole bunch of picks for Burrow. We were like, nah, we're good. We'll just take Joe Burrow.
Yeah. It turns out Joe Burrow just worth more than, you know, the three first round picks that you can get. And it's like, you can't even, this isn't basketball where you can get like seven first round picks and like swaps into infinity. This is football. You could get three first round picks, a mid round, and a second. Like, maybe you could get both first, all three first, and all three second. You
can pull a dick a trade. Oh, the whole, I want your whole draft for like the next 3 years.
Yeah. But, then it begs the question, how good are those trade? How good is that draft going to be if you trade him to Miami or if you trade him to anywhere? Because he's proven that, like, that team's going to be good with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. All right. By the way, my computer is freaking out tonight. So if my audio cuts in and out of my videos is doing weird stuff, I apologize for that. I don't know what's going on. Minecraft Master, $2 super chat says, excited for the roster. Hope for OJ. More weapons.
Fucking preseason.
I got some bad news about OJ Howard. He's
dog. Where do they think OJ is gonna get targets in between the 40 million wide receivers that they have on the Bengals roster? Like,
more than I understand. Look, you have to understand. I mean, I understand where the Bengals were coming from. Like, the excitement of getting a guy like OJ Howard, who I loved OJ Howard when he came out of college, I thought that he was a surefire, like, top tight end in the league or you know, top 10 at least.
Bro, the Bengals is going to have one down lineman to have all these wide receivers on the field. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can only have so many.
I think it's just because we do have formations with two tight ends, and we just don't want to see Drew Sample out there, bro. Like, we do.
That's a second round pick, man. 12. Who cares?
We're done with Drew Sample experiment. I don't want to see Asiasi out there either.
Come on, okay. He played well at the end of the year.
Just somebody out there, because honestly, the Bengals' biggest issue, I think, with their roster was tight end depth. Like, that was easily the biggest weakness. After you get past Hayden Hurst, who hasn't been the most durable, so you got to keep that in mind, right? True. Like, if he misses a game, you're quickly going to Drew Sample and Mitchell Wilcox, or you're talking about Thaddeus Moss, who was really trying to find tight end three. Yeah, it was ugly, dog. It was ugly.
You got a 5'11"
easily, probably, like, before OJ Howard, easily the worst tight end room in the NFL, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. Before we get going here, let's talk about our friends. Let's talk about our friends over at Manscaped. Football is back, baby. We're back to seeing Mahomes sling the beautiful balls all over the field, and your friends at Manscaped are here to help you sling your beautiful balls all season long with Manscaped's state-of-the-art tech. We'll have your weapon looking more loaded than the AFC North. Football may be rough, but your ball care doesn't have to be with Manscaped. Join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. But you have to use our promo code AFC North Talk. That's AFC North Talk, all one word, bottom of your screen right there, AFC North Talk. Meet the best value bundle for Manscaped's Pocket Rockets, the Platinum Package. At quarterback, the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, a wily vet who makes sure the unit is running smooth and scoring nonstop. With proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, the Lawnmower limits mistakes and protects the ball. Plus, it's waterproof, so the weather conditions are no issue. At running back, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, built to bust through all the right holes. A hairless nostril just keeps it. Just keeps a nose for the end zone. On the offensive line, we have our unsung heroes, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and the Crop Reviver Ball Toner, the Trent Williams and Corey Lindsley of Sack Protection, standing strong to keep your boys fresh and clean through all four quarters. At wideout, the cleanest duo in the league, the Ultra Premium Body Wash and Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner. With their rugged scent, they attract both the ball and the ladies in the crowd. Plus, these two leave your skin and scalp feeling more hydrated. That means more plays on the field and less water breaks. At tight end, the product that makes your end look tight, Manscaped's anti-chafing boxer briefs, a dedicated jewel pouch to increase ball handling, and a cool, steady vibe thanks to their moisture-wicking fabric. On defense, there's only one thing you need. That's the Ultra Premium Deodorant. This, with a refined cologne fragrance, it keeps sweat and locker room scents from making any ground. Plus, it dries clear, so the opponent won't even know what hit him. And to top it all off, they threw in the best coach in the league, the Shed Travel Bag, a free bonus. Built to hold the team together, this travel size bag has fumble resistant. Don't take my word for it. Go to manscaped.com and get 20% off plus free shipping. But again, you have to use our promo code AFCNorthTalk. That's AFCNorthTalk, all one word. That's 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com when you use our promo code AFCNorthTalk. All right, back to it, boys. Let's get back into the super chats because we got a lot of them today.
Hey,
a plan coming in. This is why I love AFC North Talk. We'll meet before the show. We'll talk about what we're gonna do, and then you guys take over the show. And I love it. I absolutely love it. So let's get back into the super chats. Where was it? Okay, here we go. Novastone's back. If LJ leaves the Ravens to go to Tampa Bay and win a Super Bowl, unlike LJ. If LJ leaves the Ravens, go for Tom Brady.
I think he's saying LJ's not going to win a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay Tom Brady did.
Okay, yeah. He's not as good, yeah. I mean, Tom Brady is the best quarterback of all time.
I don't know. Tom Brady can't rush for 1,000 yards, though, so he's kind of a bum now in this era. You know, I'm going to do it like they do people, like the Jordan arguments. Hey, man, Scottie Pippen would have been a plumber. You know, here's this my
thing. Here's my thing with Tom at this point, right? I'm just tired. I'm so tired of the Tom Brady thing. I've just been praying that it's over for years and years. And at this point, like, I'm resigned that I'm going to be watching this guy into my 50s, and that's fine. I just hope that at some point, can we just have like one random losing season for him now? You know, like that would be a night. Like, he just, you know, he waits a little too long, and then oops, like it just all falls apart, and they go like 6-10 or whatever, 6-11 now because we play 17 games.
Yeah, well, it might have happened this year, but you just ruined it for everybody by saying it out loud.
Whatever. 1-1 Blue, $5 Super Chat says, Tony, what do you think about Deontay and TJ getting dinged up playing preseason ball? And are you worried about Najee's Liz Frank injury? The only one really to be worried about there is Deontay. Obviously, he landed weird on his shoulder on that deep ball. TJ's practicing again from what I've heard, so that's fine. It's funny how when it happens to Kayvon Thibodeau, everybody's up in arms. What happens to TJ Watt, the best defensive player in the league? No one gives a crap.
He's not better than Aaron.
All right, fine.
He's in the conversation.
We'll put him at 1.5. We'll put him at 1.5.
He's in the conversation for two.
As far as Najee's Liz Frank injury, see, this is the one that one makes me worry more about the other two, because remember what Tomlin said at the time. Now, again, you know, this is not me trying to hate on Tomlin. During training camp, coaches do not have to give injury reports, right? I mean, it's not. Injury reports are a part of the gambling side of the National Football League. That's why it's mandatory that you do give out accurate injury information during the regular season, because we bet on it. But during training camp and the preseason, like, the NFL doesn't care. They don't do injury reports. So you're allowed to say whatever you want. Tomlin said about Najee, he got his foot stepped on, and that's all that it was. And we're just keeping him out because precautionary stuff. Turns out he had a Liz Frank sprain that, you know, would have kept him out a month. Yeah, so he said about Deontay and TJ, well, they could have come back in immediately. You know, we just holding them out for precautionary things. Okay. Well, if you're holding out Najee from a, you know, Liz Frank injury, what did TJ and Deontay really have? I'm not that worried about it, though, to be honest with you. The only one I'm worried about there is Deontay going into week one, but we'll see what happens next week when the actual injury reports start coming out. Hero Hope, $2 super chat here says, great week, Tom, number one, and TS 10 midnight
out. This is the Taylor Swift guy. Or girl.
This is Taylor Swift.
The Taylor Swift person.
Yes. Who's also, I guess, a Tom Brady fan, because Tom Brady, number one in the – by the way, what people are referring to here, for those of you who don't know, the NFL Top 100 finished their rankings last week, and Tom Brady was the number one player in the National Football League by those rankings. So that's what you're referring to here. Do you guys think Tom Brady was the best player in the league last year?
No.
No.
Okay. Who won the MVP? Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers won it.
Yeah, I could see why people wouldn't vote for him to be number one.
But, like, okay, even if you take the playoffs into account, right? So let's say, because, you know,
because Tom choked in the playoffs. Well, he didn't choke, but he wasn't good in the playoffs this year.
Well, he had a bad first half, and they had that miracle second half where the Rams just kept fumbling. Like, if I took the playoffs into account, I might say, you know, you can make an argument then for, like, Josh Allen, because he had a miracle run.
Yeah, I was shocked Josh Allen wasn't in the top 10 as much as people have been hyping him up.
And Burrow would be way higher too, because you know, what he did at the end of games in that one, you know, just a clutch factor there.
Nah, still not better than Big Ben.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I agree. I would, if I were doing the quarterback ranking again, I would put him at
You would put Ben over him again?
Of course. If I'm starting a team right now, I would start with 39-year-old Ben Roethlisberger.
Boy, that's one of the most ridiculous. I've said some ridiculous shit on this show and on my channel over the years. That's got to be starting Joe Burrow over Ben Roethlisberger. Like, that would be, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger over Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
That's got to be the top of the list. I don't know if I've ever said anything more ridiculous than that.
No, it's top five worst take, top three worst take of mine on this show as well.
I got that one out before I'm popular enough to be on Old Take Exposed. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm just thankful for that.
Hey, Q, when does our video that we taped last night come out? When are you premiering that one? Because I got a nice hot take at the end of that one.
Oh, yeah, it's Monday, Labor Day.
Monday, special. All right, yeah, check that one out. I dug myself a little further in the grave.
He couldn't help himself.
I blame Quincy, but I don't, because it's we'll talk. We're going to do a hot takes episode next week on this show as well. And I'll say the same thing here. All right. Professor Chaos, $20 super chat. Hey, wondering how you guys think the OJ situation would go down if it happened. We're talking about. I'm assuming we're not talking about OJ Howard in this one. Right?
No, they're talking about OJ Simpson.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, OK, if that situation happened in the 70s when he was playing. Let me tell you something. OJ.
Wait. The OJ situation being, you know, the
murder.
Okay, I don't want to say because we're on YouTube, and you know,
we're talking about you can say murder on YouTube.
The 90s thing that happened with OJ.
Yeah, the trial.
Yeah, right. And then the preceding events.
But it's like it's a question
that happening right now while he's playing in the league.
Yeah, like if OJ was an active player right now, I don't know. He probably would get signed somewhere.
No. Okay. Stop.
You gotta quit it. That's all it took for get the green light on Deshaun.
Wait, hold on. This is a crazy take. You know, when you said that, I had to think about it. Yeah, I did have to think about it.
The question is,
you're talking about the best running back of his, like, you know, or, you know, one of the best running backs of his generation, clearly.
Like, if this happened in the 70s,
that's so gross. That's so gross.
Yeah, but let me tell you, if that happened in the 70s when running backs were like the quarterbacks of the team, oh, yeah, he would have got signed somewhere. Today, since he's a running back, I don't know if somebody actually does it, like, for a running back. But if OJ Simpson was a quarterback, oh, yeah, he would have been signed
somewhere. That's gross. All right, moving on. Joe Smith. Not good.
I'm going to keep it real.
Turn real quick.
It's just, you know, it's just like, hey, and I do a show all about that league. You know, like, we do a show right here all about that league. Super Chat says, what happens first? Lamar resigns. By the way, resigns and resigns, you know, with the Ravens, or Russell Westbrook gets traded from the Lakers. Lamar, if he resigns, it's going to happen in the next week. So that's.
I don't know if Lamar is going to resign, so I'm going to go with.
I'm going to say Lamar.
Ace is pulling for what he wants to happen. Both a non-resigning of Lamar Jackson.
I want Lamar Jackson to get his money. Like, don't get it twisted at all. But
But we're flexible about who gives it to him.
Right. Yeah. You know for me, it's like for this to get drawn out like it has been. I'm not going to go on another tangent about it, but yeah, dog, when you're picking a punter over giving this man a receiver, I think he's going to get out of there.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you guys go in chat and look at this next super chat? I don't know if I should put that up or not. We're going to skip that one. It's the Joshua one. Yeah. Take a look at that super chat. Let me know if you want me to put that one up. We'll skip it for now. Professor Chaos here, $5 super chat says, if Manscaped gives you better ball control, Q, send that to Anthony Schwartz.
Joshua, I'm not getting you out of trouble.
It's a weird one.
They got a network going on. I get you out of trouble, then I get in trouble, then Tony gets in trouble.
I'll do the Joshua one. I can go to
okay,
that.
Okay, okay, okay. Here we go.
All right, Josh, you are a POS. Did your girlfriend hear that? You're a POS. Let's get it.
Let's go. Mm-mm. Let's go. I love Anthony Schwartz having a great preseason so far.
Oh God, Anthony Schwartz. I feel so bad for that guy.
Soul Train here at $2 super chat says, why do people overreact to a third string player getting cut? This is what we
think. They ain't got nothing else to do.
That's right. This is
the player getting cut, you know?
It's my favorite thing about this particular time. No one cares as much about the 53rd guy on a roster as you do for this like 6 day period, right?
And you know what's hilarious? It could be like week six and you cut that guy to move somebody up on the practice squad and nobody cares. And nobody even notices.
No one cares.
It happens today. You know, everybody acts like we on hard knocks. You know, I'm pretty sure the Chris Oladokun delegation in Pittsburgh was furious that he's with the Chiefs now.
Bro,
the fact that I know that tells me that y'all talked about it too much.
Well,
y'all know when people do that and then you see like that player end up getting like cut, like whether it's like immediately or later, and then they're out the league and you're like, this is the guy that you guys were talking about.
But he had a good camp.
He had a great camp.
Wide receivers are like key. Like every year, there's like always a wide
receiver. Oh my! Don't talk about wide receivers getting cut for me. Oh my god!
Whew. I like the whole at this time of year. You know, the fan. Every fan just basically when you hear that someone's like a special teams ace, right? And every fan's like ready to get rid of that guy. Oh, the special. No. I want the guy who's like the great wide receiver, great running back. Cut the special teams ace. You know?
I want that six running back, baby. Let's go. Perfect. Bring back John Kelly.
Yeah. Every Steeler fan wants Derek Watt and Benny Snell cut, even though they're like roster locks every year because of how good they are in special teams. All right. Novastone here, $2 super chat, says Rodgers is overrated. One Super Bowl win. And by the way, Novastone on that Super Bowl win. If Mendenhall doesn't fumble, he's got zero.
Come on. Stop.
He's got zero. And then two undeserved MVPs over Tom Brady. He's got another one here. Tom Brady had more yards and touchdowns last year and had to deal with Arians.
Now
we're just throwing Arians. Oh, wow. Arians, we're just throwing Arians aside now.
He overcame Bruce Arians. Now he's saying that. That's crazy.
I've never liked Bruce Arians. You know, he was with Pittsburgh as the offensive coordinator. I did not like him there, but obviously he's been a good coach since then. But
he had to overcome him. Hey, Tom Brady out there winning Super Bowls was the equivalent of Freddie Kitchens, apparently, according to most stuff.
Feel bad for Bruce.
You want Tom Brady to impress me? Win a playoff game with Marvin Lewis as your head coach. That's what I want to see if he's really the GOAT. Let me see that happen.
Orange and Black Gang with a $5 super chat here says, why are Browns fans asking for Dobbs and still love Baker, Ace, or going 11-6?
I can't explain anything Browns fans do right now.
Yeah, it's... It's gonna be a fun, what is it, 11 weeks for you, Q? 11
Dude,
weeks.
I gotta stream these games too. So
you're watching them all live on the channel?
Yeah.
I thought about doing that this year with the Steelers, but I mean my whole family is Steelers fans, they all come over, so it's like you definitely don't want
UCF
to do that.
Jaguar, he'll have his family like on the live with him.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. We get crazy during the game. All right. Perilous Weevil, $2 super chat here says Burrow is better than Herbert. Stronger arm doesn't equal better. Wait, was Herbert better? Was Herbert higher than Burrow on the list on top 100?
Nope.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know where that came from. See, this is where Bengal fans be fighting battles that ain't existed right
Draw
now.
Man. Yeah.
Oh no, the Herbert.
I know that's a battle that's out there, but it ain't happening right now, like right here. Like
they're getting in regular season mode. He's just throwing that out there before.
Yeah, I mean, if you were gonna redraft that entire draft class, you would take Herbert first, no doubt about it. Novastone here with a $2 super.
You know, if Herbert had Jamar Chase, he would put up the same.
Dolphins fans would take Tua first.
Well, he's got the most accurate catchable ball I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's catchable for both the offense and the defense.
Did you guys hear that? I think we've done this joke on the show already, but that's a Mike McDaniel quote.
Oh, a catchable ball?
The most accurate catchable ball he's ever seen, which is something that someone said it, and then Lebatard was interviewing Mike McDaniel, the coach, and he said it to him. He's like, yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah, okay. Tua. Novastone here. Tom Brady will win with a failed Jets head coach. Okay. Still owning the Jets. There you go. All right. And we made it through. We made it through all the super chats. We've done it. And now we can finally get into Sonny here. He gives us his rankings. So this is it. So we're going to do safety talk now. We're going to rank the rooms 4-1. Sonny here will give us his first rankings. We'll go 4-1 right with Sonny. Can you guys hear this?
Nope.
Cannot hear it.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Well,
you hit the share audio, right?
I did.
Are you sharing your screen or are you just sharing the clip itself?
I can try to share the clip. The problem is his clip is 2.5 gigs. So,
jeez, Sonny, what the hell are you? I know, that's what I said.
Like, you send us a 4K video. All right, let me try to share the video file itself.
If we can't get it up during the show today, we'll put it on
the safety episode, man.
Here we go. Okay, here we go.
I know last year this was the craziest episode. Quarterback was also kind of weird, right?
Quarterback the was the craziest.
No, Jesse Bates, Minka, Q's boy Josh Johnson, John Johnson, right? And then the Ravens, we had a solid safety core, which I thought they were good. I will say this. I'm going to start with this right off the bat. The safety group, I would have ranked them differently if it was from my how I used to rank the position groups. And what I'm saying with that is I used to say, okay, bring in free agents. I take them down a notch. I don't know how to fit. I mean, that's what I said about John Johnson last year and rookies. But this year we said, no, let's take in account rookies. That's your expectation. And then safeties. With that being said, let me just write.
Yeah. Well, listen, you guys, but here's the thing. I'll defend Sonny. Okay. I'll defend Sonny because we did make the rule to start that all of a sudden we're allowed to take rookies into account.
I always take rookies into account. Yeah, I will say that. Yeah. I always took them into account.
I don't like
taking. We just can't take postseason into account.
That's right. Yeah. You got to say, so it's a regular season award. It's a regular season award.
Because not everybody gets to play in the postseason.
That's right. I can't know. You know,
I'm taking both, man.
Apples to apples. Both. We got to compare apples to apples. All right,
you know, we got to compare what you did.
I mean, the Steelers made the postseason. What's the problem, Tony? Steelers made the postseason.
They did. Yeah. They did.
Well, they didn't play the same amount of games as the Bengals. Bengals pretty much had a whole postseason. The Steelers had like two quarters in Kansas City, you know, and it's not the same thing.
Postseason is when it matters. Let's get it. Game on the line.
Postseason might be less important than the preseason, according to Twitter.
All right, here's Sonny's rankings.
Great. Fourth from East Cleveland. All of these safety rooms in the AAC North are really good, in my opinion. Cleveland is good. John Johnson, pretty good. Delpit, right? Good as well. Needs to develop some more still. They have the potential to be great. I mean, but they still lack that consistency, in my opinion, right? And number three, and I think this is where we're going to get spicy right now.
Yes,
I'm going to go with the Bengals. Now, the Bengals, I like the safety room a lot, right? Bates, he's coming back, as we saw. He signed his tag. And then you have the new kid, right? Daxton Hill. I like Daxton Hill a lot. And I think Bengals fans, I don't think Jesse Bates comes this year. What I was expecting the Bengals to do, I know Jesse Bates is beloved over there at Cincy, was to do what Carolina did. Jesse, you don't want to come training camp? You're going to pull that franchise tag, go see somebody who wants to give you some money, especially since Daxton Hill looks so good. But they didn't do that. Daxton Hill, I think it will be a great safety next year. I'm not saying he's not going to be good this year, but obviously he's not going to start. He's going to be in packages. We'll see. But the safety room over there in the Bengals is very, very solid. But it's all said and done, they could get all the way to number one. My number two is the Steelers. Now we got Minka. Minka, one of the best safeties in the league. I think last year wasn't as good as the year before, in my opinion. Guys, I'm on vacation, so I don't have all my numbers in front of me, but not as good as the year before. And then after that, but the reason why I, for example, put them over the Bengals was because Jesse Bates had even a worse year, right? So, you know what? I'm going to flip it. Yes, Tony. Yes, Ace. I'm going to flip it. I'm going to put third to Steelers second.
Bengals, I like the anime twist right there.
Although Minka, ooh, I think is the better of all. If I put the Bengals and the Steelers safeties together, Minka's the best, but the room in the Bengals is better. The Steelers after Minka is, I know Edmonds right now is being moved more to a linebacker spot, which is better for him. Okay? I think overall the Steelers room is not as good. So yes, this would be third, the Steelers, Second, the Bengals. And first, we're going to go with the Ravens. And again, I think if I would have ranked them like last year, I would probably put in the Ravens third or fourth. Because I don't know how Kerry Williams is going to fit. He might be great. He might not be as good as he was with the Saints. Hamilton, he might be great. He might not be as good as the hybrid, as a 14th overall pick. But right now, based on potential, which is what we agree, with Kerry Williams, you have Williams as safety, as one of the top safeties in the league coming to Baltimore. You have Chuck Clark, a staple in that defense, for been here for a while, leader, the dot in the room. And then you have Hamilton, which, similar to Daxton Hill, he's going to have time to develop, right? He's not going to start right away. He will have time to see where he fits best, and then he's going to be in some packages. So I think the Ravens also have a lot of upside. I think the Bengals and the Ravens have the most upside of both rooms. But for now, I think the Ravens have a better three than the Bengals three. And that's why I have Ravens first, second Bengals, third Steelers, and fourth the Browns. I'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. See y'all next time.
All right, there you go. So, yeah, he had it. Browns four, Bengals three. Then he changed his mind. Steelers three, Bengals two, and the Baltimore Ravens, the number one team in the division. I don't know about you guys. You know, this was not obviously this is not an easy room to put together because I think and he I think he led off with this right. All the rooms are good. You know, this is you're putting a team at four because the rankings call for someone has to be the worst. You know, you have to say someone is the worst unit in. But I don't think any of us would say that, you know, any of these rooms are necessarily a bad room. So with that being said, Q, I'll let you start here. Let's see where you go. What is your number four team in the division?
Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's number four in the division. Minkah Fitzpatrick is terrible. He's overrated. He's a glorified linebacker. He's only good at run defense. That's his only purpose. Terrible at everything. Terrell Edmonds is actually better than Minkah Fitzpatrick. You know, not many people know that. But me and my friends at Pro Football Focus, they know that DeMonte Casey and Terrell Edmonds better than Minkah.
Yeah. Okay. I was gonna say, are you doing a PFF meme right now? And it turns out yes, you are. Okay.
Oh, and Miles killed Kyle Brew is just small sample size, 47 snaps. Miles ahead of Minkah. Obviously I'm being kind of tongue in cheek here, but it's a good room. It's the room I would put last just because, yes, you have Minkah in like outside of whatever Pro Football Focus grades Minkah. Minkah's probably one of the best five safeties in football. No matter how you try to make it. The reason I put him here is because I don't really love what's going on after Minkah, right? It seems like DeMonte Casey for real. Yeah, I know the Pro Football Focus grade says he's better than Minkah Fitzpatrick, but it's probably like DeMonte Casey and then like Terrell Edmonds rotating in with like maybe.
So Edmonds is gonna start. Casey's hurt right now.
Casey's hurt. Yeah, is Carl Joseph Casey like? Did he make the team?
Oh,
Carl Joseph, or is he hurt?
Carl Joseph is on IR. Out. He's gone.
He hurt for
you go
because he's going on IR, right?
He's going on IR, and they don't know how long. It's probably gonna be a month or two. And maybe longer. I mean, they thought it could be a season ender, but it's not.
It's starting to get to that point where he's almost 30 and he's not fast to begin with. And Carl Joseph. I've watched
Carl Joseph's not on the team. He's on IR. Out. Yeah. Gone. Okay. Carl Joseph. So, the four safeties in the room right now are
Edmonds, Casey.
No, not Casey. Casey's going to go on IR. Norwood Jesus. And
Casey's hurt. He's pretty much out of there.
Okay, yeah, this justifies four. Yeah, that pretty much justified it there for me. I put him at four. It's just not the deepest room in the North. You still got a superstar safety there. I would actually say, despite them being fourth, I think Minkah's still the best safety in the division. But don't like the rest of the room around it.
Gotcha. Okay. Ace, how about you?
For me, I've also got Pittsburgh here at number four. When you have good safety rooms, you have to look at the entire room, especially when you have guys that are three, four safeties deep here when you get into it. But the deciding factor for me wasn't Minkah Fitzpatrick. I agree with Quincy. I think he is the best safety in the division. But when I look at that Miles Killebrew, especially with the Kazee injury, I found some interesting stats. Like, one of the things that I looked at was, like, missed tackle percentage, right? And I saw an eye-popping one for Miles Killebrew. I hope he does not get on the field. I hope he does not see the field whatsoever. This man had an 18.8 percentage on missed tackles. The second highest is, like, 12%. He had an 18.8% one. I thought that was alarming. You did have Edmonds with a 10% one. Minkah had a 9.5, but I think where Edmonds makes up is his quarterback rating that he had against him, which was a 63.7. That was really good. That kind of checks out with the PFF grade that he has for coverage. When you talk about Minkah, he's got an 81.2. These are good numbers because there are some safeties on this list around the division that have some of those up in the 90s to over 100 as well. So they're not a bad safety group, but I think Kazee being hurt gives them the question mark there. And then you talk about Norwood. I'm not so sure what he's like in comparison to the other guys. It's a 50.4 PFF grade, which I think equates to average. But when you look at that and then you look at other teams around the division that have a third guy there that's just definitively better than the other two that are currently in the Steelers locker room, that was the deciding factor for me. So I've got the Steelers at four here, but it still was a tough one, and it really just came down to the sum of your third and fourth safety.
Gotcha. Okay, so for me, I'll just flip myself over. There we go. We're trying a new thing out here with the way the layouts are here. For me, number four is gonna be Baltimore Ravens, and I'm sure people are gonna be not happy in Baltimore to hear me say that they're the worst room. This is not the worst, right? I mean, once again, you know, I would trade out. I think most of us would. If you traded out for the other rooms, you're not going to be that sad. You know, if I traded out, yeah, I mean, I'm going to be sad to lose Minkah Fitzpatrick. Oh, but I'm getting back Marcus Williams and the potential of a Kyle Hamilton. Oh, and, you know, I believe Chuck Clark is still there. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty good. I'd be pretty good with that. This is a good room. The reason why, you know, I have Baltimore last. And again, you know, this is my favorite part about today's show. This is not a bad unit whatsoever. Marcus Williams, by the way, you know, look, it is very much a Baltimore type signing of to bring a guy over like this, who is such kind of an eraser in the secondary, you know, where teams just don't throw his way. And if this team gets back a truly healthy Marcus Peters and a truly healthy Marlon Humphrey, and they can and Kyle Fuller in the slot does what I think he's going to do, I mean, this could easily be the best secondary in the league. I mean, they probably will be, you know, rounded out to be the best secondary in the league. And we haven't even talked about Kyle Hamilton yet. And the potential that he has. Look, I know Kyle Hamilton gets a lot of, you know, a big knock for his athleticism and all that. You know, that he got burned by, you know, whatever, like some backup fullback, you know, on one play in preseason. But I think we know, like, watching Kyle Hamilton in college, look, he can be an electric playmaker out there. He's maybe one of these guys who gets devalued in the modern game because of the lack of athleticism. And if, you know, if this were like 20 years ago, you know, where the game today is played from sideline to sideline and vertically, right? So we don't do, you know, the kind of like truly in the box type players like we used to. But like, I'm sure that this coaching staff are going to get the best out of Kyle Hamilton. That's just what they do. I mean, this is just their history. And Hamilton's a good player. This is a guy who a lot of draft people thought was like a top five pick, and he ends up falling to them at 14. So I think it's a good unit. The reason why I have them four is that I have definitive evidence of the rest of this room. You know, I've seen Minkah Fitzpatrick, I've seen Terrell Edmonds, I've seen Trey Norwood. When it comes to Pittsburgh, when it comes to Cleveland, right? Whether it's Ronnie Harrison or John Johnson or Grant Delpit, I've seen the entire room. You know, Jesse Bates and Von Bell. There's only a projection there for Dax Hill, right? This is a room that is, we're talking about more projection in Baltimore than we are reality. And so that's why I have them four again. You know, not saying they're a bad room; they're a good room. All these rooms are good. And you know, Sonny's argument for why they're number one. You know, I don't disagree with any of his points. Yeah, I think this is gonna be a fun day.
I like how we all have PTSD over each other's fans just getting angry at each other.
Well, it's just a silly. it's the silly part of this ranking, which is like whoever you put four is immediately gonna feel like you guys both put the Steelers four. That's fine. You want to put the Steelers four? That's fine. You know,
I've been in the trenches since the quarterback episode. I think I'm numb to it now. I don't feel anything.
Hey, bro, if putting Joe Burrow over, under Ben Roethlisberger at like 38 years old did not make me numb to it, I don't know if it's ever happening for me.
All right, we'll go back to you, Q, for your number.
My number three. Oh, I'm going to go Baltimore here at three. I like the potential of Baltimore's room. I think Marcus Williams is all right. I don't really think, you know, it's almost the anti-effect Pro Football Focus has on me. The higher they grade you, the safeties, like, I just don't trust it.
The doubt. Yeah, you got that doubt meme or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm like, seventh Marcus Williams, like, I doubt. But, you know, especially because it's weird because they only, you know, Pro Football Focus, like, they only, and this is why their DB grades are kind of, like, odd. They only grade you on plays where you're targeted.
Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yep.
Which, I mean, like, for DBs, that makes no sense. For safeties, it makes even less sense.
I mean, yeah.
But it's
a big W for me right now.
Yeah.
I do not trust their grading.
Yeah. So I worry about that. Kyle Hamilton, I like Kyle Hamilton a lot. I think he'll be fine. I think he's probably next year more so of an impact player than this year. I don't think the Ravens are going to get him in that much. I think he's a project. Just because you got to get him acclimated, and you have a guy like Chuck Clark there who's going to be holding it down at the strong safety spot. Do they see Kyle's a free safety?
Didn't he request a trade?
No, Kyle can't be a free there. He cannot play free there. It's got to
I can say not Marcus in no cover three.
There's no chance.
Are they just not? Didn't Chuck Clark request a trade though? Are they just not granting it?
Chuck Clark requested a trade.
I'm pretty sure I saw that.
I'm not even going to look it up. Someone in chat, we got enough Ravens fans here today. I know we have a lot of Ravens fans because as soon as I said Baltimore 4, I just Tony L, Tony L, Tony L in chat. So I know we got
mad at us.
I certainly got some Ravens fans in there.
To be fair, we started off this whole thing with about how they're going to lose their quarterback, so they're not happy.
We got him pre-mad. Yeah, so he did request a trade.
It appears that he requested a trade after the draft, but maybe it's changed potentially.
Just like Kareem Hunt requested a trade, and then it turns out if you're not a quarterback, that don't matter. It's a good room. I like the potential of it. I think Geno Stone's, he's not terrible, but he's all right there. That's why I gave him the edge over Pittsburgh, just because I feel like Marcus Williams, Chuck Clark, that's a better combination of what they have going down there. And then the potential of a Kyle Hamilton is also what puts me over the top there.
All right. That is Q's rating. Ace, we will go to you for your number three.
So three here, this was tough splitting hairs here, but I landed because I'm looking at, like I said, the three safeties in both rooms. I landed on Cleveland here, and really the reasoning for that, because I love the room that they have there. Like you said, for the most part, all of these rooms are good. Yeah. I love Grant Delpit, love John Johnson III, Ronnie Harrison. You're not going to really find too many flaws there. Now, the Richard guy, I wasn't too sure about.
The count?
You don't like the count?
Yeah, about him, that was something that I couldn't figure out. But then when I delve into those missed tackle numbers, the one thing that stood out to me was after we get past Miles Killebrew at the 18%, the next two highest, believe it or not, were Grant Delpit at 12%, John Johnson at 12.9%, and then it was Grant Delpit at 12%. The one that actually had a good one was Ronnie Harrison. The only thing that I found bad about Ronnie Harrison was when I went to touchdowns or passing touchdowns given up by the safeties, he gave up the most in the North. I think he gave up six touchdowns.
Four of those against Justin Herbert
and Mike Williams. Yeah, that's we'll talk. Yeah, I have some stats on that game as well.
So
game where it was like quarters for him for the rest of the year.
And let me see. I think when I'm looking at John Johnson, actually didn't give up too crazy of a QB rating. He had a 73.2, which is good. I've also got down here Ronnie Harrison. It was bad. It was 113. Wasn't the worst because there are some other people, some of my Bengals included, they gave up that kind of range as well. And then I think Delpit was pretty solid as well in coverage, but that's literally why probably those guys with the missed tackle percentage and then The fourth guy, which I didn't have too much real data on for the most part. It was kind of a small sample size. So for those reasons, I've got Cleveland here at three.
All right. My turn at three. All right, let's do it, folks. Like I said, no bad rooms. No bad rooms. So whoever's here, I think you have a good room, okay? So everybody just – let's do a breathing exercise.
You're before ready, I Bengals say this. Fans.
Before
prep yourself.
Yeah, Bengals fans. You have a good room, but I did rank them third. I have the Bengals at three. Okay, so let's go through the room, right? Jesse Bates. I know we had the argument last year about Jesse. You know, we all kind of, you know, everybody are. Boy, it got heated here in this thing last year about Jesse. Jesse Bates is a good safety, right? I mean, like, you know, he is this is someone the Steelers, I think they thought about getting him when they got Edmonds. I mean, he's just a rangy guy, right? I mean, you know, this is a, your sideline to sideline, middle third type safety. Look, he had a rough year last year. I mean, the Bengals had a tough time last year. The reason why I have them three is that they gave up 65 plays of 20 plus yards, right? And when you consider it to the other two, obviously Baltimore gave up more, but Baltimore is a complete switch out of their entire room. I can't get over that, right? I think that this is a really good room, and I think that I'm probably going to end up being wrong when I rank them third, right? Because, you know, will they end up finishing as the third best room this year? Probably not. I like Dax Hall a lot. I thought Dax Hall was on my list as far as
– Dax who?
Dax Hill. Dax Hill was on my list as far as players I wanted the Steelers to take if they didn't go quarterback. I liked his not only – you know, his ability, like, he can play safety, but I think the even better part about him is how versatile he is, right? I mean, we talk about him, he's the Jesse Bates replacement, but Jesse Bates is like a true free safety type. I think Dax Hill is probably going to end up being a lot more than that. He's going to be a true chess piece in that defense. When you talk about being able to move him around to slot, you know, he can cover receivers. I mean, everything he did at Michigan was awesome. Von Bell's a good player there. Look, the reason why I have them, the Bengals at three is because they, you know, they just didn't have a good year last year. And I think, you know, we're talking about, I think they're going to have a bounce back year. Yes. But the next two rooms we're going to talk about, I think had good years last year. And, you know, I don't need to project out, you know, anything about them. So that's why I have the Bengals three. Good room. Don't hate the room. Okay. Let's not do that. Good room.
You guys have to realize Tony is not taking the postseason into account. I know you guys are going to go crazy.
No, I'll say that. No, I'll say this. I'll
take the postseason. They bought out in the playoffs.
They did. No, they absolutely did. Right. But again, you know, it's like, do I take the playoffs and just say, well, that erases what happened in the regular season, right? Right. Like, what happened in the postseason is why I didn't rank them four, to be quite honest with you, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's one of those things where, like, no, I can easily see, like, okay, let's back up for a second. Is it if you took the playoffs out of it? You could make the argument. The argument could definitely be made about Jesse Bates that he's a one-year wonder, right? If he didn't have, let's say that the Bengals didn't make the playoffs last year, you ended after week 17, and you go, okay, Jesse Bates might have just been a one-year wonder because that was really weird what just happened last year, and he looked nothing like the player he was the year prior. But what he did in the playoffs was kind of affirming of, oh, no, okay, he's still that guy, right? He's still probably going to be that guy again. I think that's why I'm more comfortable putting them three and saying that this is still a good room. They're going to be good. They could be much higher on this list. And I think long-term what they got with Dax Hill is even better because when they lose Jesse, they end up with, you know, a player that quite honestly could be even better than Jesse Bates in Dax Hill. So, yeah. Mm. Okay, so that's my three. And we'll do the volleyball rotate. Q, you're up. Number two. And by the way, I had a theory coming in, and so far it is true. So you are the only one that are going to break this now.
Got the Browns here too.
No, you did it just to spite me, and that's fine.
No. I actually, I think Bengal fans are gonna think I'm doing it to spite them, but you know, we'll see. You'll see how I get there. I have the Browns here at two, just because it's a really solid room. You know, it's Grant Delpit, who's solid right now. He hasn't taken a step. John Johnson, who was solid last year at the end of it. Beginning of last year was kind of a mess. Ronnie Harrison, look, we found out that you just can't leave Ronnie in space, right? Like Ronnie in coverage, Ronnie in space, Ronnie in the slot, don't need none of that, right? Ronnie, you know, just taking care of a deep blue, he could do that. So that they found out a lot about what they can and cannot get away with Ronnie Harrison. And also he's a good run defender and a good sub linebacker. And then I want to point everybody's attention because I'm planting the flag right now. DeAnthony Bell.
Who?
You know, DeAnthony Bell. You know, he's my from the West Florida Aggernauts. He was undrafted in the year of 2022, and all he's done is make plays every single day in camp and in practice and in the games. And I'm putting it right here. DeAnthony Bell will be, maybe he'll be the nickel corner. Maybe he'll be that, but he will be an impactful player for the Cleveland Browns. This is my Pierre moment for y'all. You know
no,
what I
was going to say, is he Kenny Pickett good? Are you saying he's Kenny Pickett good right now? Is that what you're saying?
I ain't going to compare him to the GOAT. But, you know, DeAnthony Bell, I feel like he's going to factor in there. But, again, the big question with the Browns safety is like, hey, if Grant Delpit takes that step and becomes what everybody thought he could be coming out of 2018 in LSU, yeah, this might be the best, like, defense in like the last 5 years, okay? If that happens, I cannot project that to happen because although Grant's had a good camp, he hasn't looked like Grant Delpit. He's looked like, hey, you know, Grant's out there, you know, he's good. And then John Johnson, he's going to be a solid guy. Like he's going to hold down the fort and everything, but he's John Johnson. Like, you know, I know he was rated like two of all safeties last year, but he's just a pretty good safety. So the lack of star power here is why I have the Browns at two. I think if we're talking about depth, I think it's the deepest room in the North. I just don't know if the top is enough to justify putting them over who I have at number one.
Wait, I have a question. Okay, hold on. Let's pause the show here because I may pull a Sonny right now and flip my rooms. Do Delpit and Johnson not play on the field at the same time? I'm just looking at the snap counts here, and I think I got this wrong. Delpit and it doesn't look like Delpit and Johnson were on the field at the same time. It looks like
Beginning of last year was Delpit. It was Harrison and John Johnson playing a lot together. You have to remember Grant Delpit, the Achilles. He was a rookie last year, pretty much. He wasn't on the field early. At the end of last year, sometimes it's Grant and John at the same time. Sometimes John's in the box and then. And then,
three safety look.
Okay. Yeah, like a three. Well, it's like kind of a nickel sub linebacker deal. Mm-hmm. And then the Browns run a lot of quarters, and they run a lot of cover three sky. So they're just going to be weird rotations there. They don't play a traditional two deep kind of look.
I'm flipping. Browns are my three. I thought that okay. So because my initial thought here, and are they my three? They're so close, the Bengals and the Browns. I thought the Browns at the end of last season. Okay, well, we'll talk about play. Okay.
Boy, if the Browns would have made the playoffs, man.
Yeah, exactly. They could have been one. They could have been one on this list. Okay, the Browns, they gave up, 44 plays, 45 plays last year of 20-plus yards, and seven of them were in that one game against the Chargers. And when you think about what this team needs to do this year, right? I mean, no one knows how to win ugly football games like Steeler fans because we've watched it for 3 years running, right? So when I look at how they had to win games last year and especially how they're going to have to win games this season, they are going to need to do one thing and one thing only, which is keep a lid on it. You cannot be giving up big plays. If you want to win games in the teens and 20s and once the opponent gets to 30, it's a wrap, then you got to keep a lid on it. I thought Johnson and Delpit together – you know, but now you're telling me they're running a lot of like cover three stuff where one guy's coming down into the box, and I don't love that. Especially if it's Ronnie Harrison and it's not Delpit. I'll keep my ranking. I'll keep them too. They were really good last year at, like I said, at keeping a lid on it. You know, this whole defense was, but I, you know, obviously the safety
at the end of last season.
The end of last season, right. I mean, yeah. I think there's those splits at the end of last season where you start looking at like the last, what was it, like five or six games of the year when it looked to me from a snap count perspective, although now that I dig into it, maybe this wasn't true. But you know, when their ranking or their numbers, their splits at the end of last season were really, really good. And that's why I think, you know, you talked about it. The Browns project to be like, this could be a top five unit in football when you think about if Delpit and Johnson continue what they did at the end of last season, plus they have the growth and maturation of that corner room. And we talked about JOK and all that. I mean, you know, again, it projects out like, yo, this could be a really good defense. And that's what I was putting them too. But I don't know. I could easily flip them for Cincinnati now that I know these two don't play at the same time. All right. Anyway, Ace, you're number two.
For me here, I've got the Ravens here at number two. Chuck Clark, obviously, a solid safety, right? Like not a guy that's going to be on your radar unless you're paying attention in the AFC North. You're probably not going to know him around the league, but solid safety there, 66.2 PFF grade. No problem there. Marcus Williams, the big acquisition that they had coming off of 80.1 PFF grade. If I'm looking at his missed tackle rate, that as well is somewhat low there. So those two guys are there. I put Kyle Hamilton into this equation because obviously he's a guy that you can use that's super versatile. You can use him as a dime linebacker. You can do a lot of things with him. I'm not as high on him as other people are, though. Like, I think that Kyle Hamilton definitely has some flaws in his games. He definitely isn't a guy that you want to kind of have guarding that slot receiver or anybody fast. But I do think that he has potential there. And going off of his PFF grade from this preseason where he played 86 snaps, they've got him at a 59.6 grade, which is pretty much average. I think that he has potential there to move up. Geno Stone, although he graded out pretty well, it was only with 219 snaps, so super small sample size there. Not much that I know about him outside of those numbers because the sample size is so small. But when you look at Chuck Clark, his missed tackle percentage, 9.1%. His coverage grade, 81.9 in terms of the quarterback passer rating against him, which is also pretty solid. And then when I look at some of the other numbers, they pretty much check out for the most part. But with the Ravens, I think they have three solid guys there. You could go either way between them and the Browns here. Like, honestly, Kyle Hamilton, even though I'm not a big Kyle Hamilton fan, and that's not because he was on the Ravens, I didn't like him when people were talking about him for the Bengals. I thought that he was honestly kind of an overrated prospect. But I'll still give him the benefit of the doubt, and I think that he'll be able to do some things with Baltimore. So I have them at two.
All right. Here we are, number one, Q.
The Cincinnati Bengals. I have the Cincinnati Bengals here. Look,
thought it could be done.
They performed well. Huh?
You giving them props.
Well, let's hear what I got to say first. they played very well at the end of last season. I'm a believer in Von Bell. I'm a believer. I think that's real. You know what I mean? Last year, I wasn't so much into it. This year, I'm a believer in it. Who I'm not that much of a believer in is Jesse Bates. But I feel like Dax Hill is an upgrade right now to Jesse Bates. Because he's more rangy, I feel like he sees the field better. Like, my thing with Jesse is sometimes Jesse gets caught in the eyes of quarterbacks, right? Where he is trying to make that jump, where he's trying to, you know, make the big play, and he gets himself in trouble. I think Dax is going to be better for that defense overall because he just plays free safety. Well, I feel like is more properly, especially when you're in a defense like the Bengals that relies on a lot of one high, two high looks, or maybe some three to throw in there. But main thing I'm saying is like that free safety is really like the stopgap between a big play. And sometimes I think Jesse plays into why they give up big plays because we talked about it. I think they gave up one of the higher rates in the division.
10%, 10% of passing plays were over 20 plus yards for them.
Yeah, and I think Jesse plays into that. Now that you have a guy like Dax Hill, who I feel like, you know, can stabilize that role, and then you can throw Jesse in there to make some plays, now you got Jesse in the right position to be who he is, which is a ball hawk, right? But it's not necessarily going to cost you so much because Dax is so rangy and athletic. And I really think, like, they lucked into that one. Like, I don't know how Dax Hill was there. Dax Hill was, like, one of my favorite players in this draft. But he's going to be a really rangy, athletic guy. He's shown the instincts. The one preseason game he played. He played in one, right? Did he play in two? I know he played in one.
Did he play in all three?
Dax, the one I watched was pretty good.
Playoff games?
No, not the play. Dax Hill.
Dax Hill preseason.
Oh, did he play in all preseason games? Yes, yeah. Sorry,
I thought he played in all three, yeah.
Yeah, either way, my opinion stands on Dax Hill. I like him a lot. I think he's an upgrade to Jesse Bates. Von Bell's very solid in that role. And just when you can put Jesse in the right role, then I think you can get all the good stuff with Jesse, all the big plays, the interceptions, without having to worry about, you know, is Jesse about to hop the sluggo? You know what I mean? Like that sometimes you have to
worry. You don't think you can just, I mean, I think it's so easy for Jesse to have a bounce back. I mean, we saw it in the playoffs, right? I mean, the guy was, you know, he was much more discipline.
It's easier to be disciplined in a short period of time like the playoffs than it is for a whole 17-game season, is what I'll say there, right? Like, you get bored during the 17-game season. And I've seen this with Greedy Williams, right? When the game's important, Greedy's focused. When the game's not important or the game's just normal, Greedy get bored. And you know it's more fun than, you know, sitting there hanging out in your corner, doing what you're supposed to do, hopping the sluggo. Like, that's just more fun. You know what I mean? And sometimes Jesse wants to have fun, and it does cost him. But now that you have Dax, I feel like that's going to be a much better situation there. Jesse's a good player. I think Jesse's a top 15 safety in the NFL, right? I don't know if he's top 10. I've never been high on Jesse Bates. I think Dax is somebody who has Minkah Fitzpatrick-level potential, and I think he's very close to realizing that already as a rookie. So I'm very high on Dax Hill. That's why I put him there. And Von Bell, look, man, he does all you need a strong safety to do in that defense, which is just play the under, take those underneath routes, chrome crash on anything that's below five, and then just defend the run. And he's a good run fitter. So Von Bell, they have a good fit there. They have a really good room. I like the ranginess. I like the athletic ability. And you have to remember, a lot of cover one the Bengals like to play. And when you do that, that three-man rotation has to hit right. And I think it does for the Bengals here. And that's why I have them at one.
All right. There we go. Ace.
Yeah, for me, it's the Bengals number one. And I start off here like we talk about Minkah Fitzpatrick, right? And we talk about how amazing he was. Minkah Fitzpatrick, and we're talking about Jesse Bates' season last year. It was not too far off from a grading perspective from PFF as what Minkah had as well. They were very close. Minkah actually in coverage was worse than Jesse Bates last year. But if I do separate that out and take away the two-point difference and I take into account the regular and the postseason for both, that is where it gets interesting, right? Because we talked about Jesse Bates last year. Regular season was a wash. Postseason was definitely different. And he talked about it throughout the season. With him not having that contract extension, he kind of was like, all right, it's in my head, I'm thinking about it. And then all of a sudden, when you see him in the playoffs, he's like a different guy. Yeah. In the playoffs, Jesse Bates, if you take the regular season, the bad regular season he had, and you combine it with the postseason as well, his PFF grade shoots all the way up from 56, I believe, to 67.8. That is how good he was in the postseason when it came to that. When you do the same with Minkah Fitzpatrick, it moves up, which is one game sample size, right, with the postseason plus the actual regular season. So you get, what, 18 games there. It's a 59.8. So it actually shoots up in Jesse's favor. But then we talk about the playoffs. Like, for me, the playoffs is where you have to ball at your elite level, right? Like, that's – it's put up or shut up time. So, like, you can have a great regular season. Like, Peyton Manning used to do that. Great regular season – gets to the playoffs is a kind of up and down. So for me, I took that into account with this, not just the regular season, but both of them combined. The other thing that I'll say is, too, is no one really talked about how good of a season that Von Bell, and I give Quincy props because he said that he was sold on. Von Bell had an amazing season last year for Von Bell standards. I think he played over it. I've said numerous times that he outplayed Jesse last year. They asked a lot more out of him. He actually was – if we're taking all of the new safeties into account, the second highest safety for the AFC, if you're looking at snaps above 20%, you're looking at the number one safety if you take Marcus Williams out of it. I'm not doing that because Marcus Williams is here now. Yeah. So I'll give Von Bell that second one. The one thing, though, with him and Jesse that you have to watch out for, I kind of talked about that quarterback rating. They both were over 100 there, whether it was Von Bell at 113.6, Jesse Bates, I believe, was at 120 last year. So Jesse Bates was definitely giving it up through the regular season early on. But both of those guys, obviously, we talk about the interceptions, the clutch things that they did. You talk about Jesse Bates picking off Ryan Tannehill in that game. You talk about the biggest one, which was a play with both of them, ironically, where it was Jesse Bates tipping it down to Von Bell in the Chiefs playoff game. And that kind of symbolized that. But let's step away from those two guys. Dax Hill, if you look at, and I talked about Kyle Hamilton playing 85 or 86 snaps. Dax Hill actually played one less snap than him at 85. Dax Hill was the top graded defensive rookie for the preseason for PFF. The things that this guy can do as far as his range is insane. And I do agree with Quincy, like, Dax Hill can do more things I think, than Jesse Bates can. He can come off the edge as a blitzer. He can play on the outside. He can play on the inside. The ball skills are crazy. The first game I see this guy, he jumps up, it seems like 40 inches in the air, almost comes down with an interception, doesn't get it. The next game, he gets an interception. So Dax Hill, I think, is definitely like, if you asked me before the preseason, was Dax Hill going to play that much this season? I probably would have told you no. He's going to be out there in a limited role, probably similar to like a Mike Hilton type role, barely out there, not really out there with the 1,000 snaps and stuff like that. After preseason, they're going to have to put this guy on the field. There's no way that you can sit Dax Hill, especially if you play him in there with a three safety look with him, Vaughn, as well as Jesse, or you sub him in, you put him in at slot corner, you do whatever you can do with him. He has some star potential. The other thing, too, is the Bengals also took another safety, and that's when people really thought that the writing was on the wall for Jesse Bates, because they took another guy by the name of Tyson Anderson later in that draft, who's an athletic freak as well. But the interesting thing was he didn't flash as much to me, per se, in the preseason, but he had a 73.8 PFF score as well. So he also was right up there with Dax, and I think those two guys – could potentially be the heir apparent to these guys. That's what I think the future plan is. But it really puts the Bengals at a safety room that's four deep. And most of them, there's probably like 3.5 or there's, 2.5. But I felt like the Bengals had completely four safeties that you could put in there. You have two starters. You have two guys that are comparable backups that you could put in there. And so for that reason, I got the Bengals at number one.
All right. Yeah, I mean, again, the fun part about today is I don't disagree with anybody. But I do have the Steelers one. I know everybody in chat started Tony Sopas putting them one.
Bias.
When we talk about ranking these rooms,
imagine ranking your own team number one. I could.
Everyone ranked them one except Q.
The least biased person I would like to point out.
Today.
Yeah.
Interesting thing, when you guys were talking about the Steelers room, I kind of struggled a little bit because I started looking at snap counts and I realized, that's why I don't care about depth. You guys were talking about Miles Killebrew earlier. Like, Miles Killebrew doesn't see the field, guys. Like, he's 45 snaps last year, right? And like, even the Steelers, the reason why I don't care about the third safety on the Steelers, that guy's not getting on the field. It's Minka and it's Edmonds, and it's every single play. Over 1,000 snaps for both of those. Edmonds, by the way, played 1,100 snaps last year, because remember, Minka did miss a game for COVID a season ago. So yeah, I mean, like, do the Steelers not have the most deep room? No, but those guys aren't going to see the field, so I don't really care. And if the argument's going to be that, if Minka goes down, who's going to come in? Well, if Minka goes down, they're going to have the worst safety room. But that would be the same for the Browns when we talk about edge, right? I mean, if Miles goes down, they're going to have the worst edge room in the league or in the division, but no one cares, right? Because they have Miles Garrett.
Because it's Miles Garrett.
Because it's Miles Garrett, right? And I think that's the thing for Minka. Look, I like the whole I love, everyone says this. I had a fun discussion. I was at training camp, and I went to a dinner with some of the writers there, and we were talking about Minka. Minka Fitzpatrick had a bad season. It's been like Minka had a bad year. They got a bad year for Minka, no doubt about it, right? Because when we think about Minka Fitzpatrick, game changer, right? The thing that Minka did right away, and he did it for two straight seasons, was be an absolute game wrecker when it comes to big turnovers, big plays. Last year, he did not do that. Right? I mean, that was not his game last season. But I don't think it was, I push back big on the idea that it was a bad season. And I know PFF doesn't like Minka. PFF's never liked Minka, right? In the seasons where Minka was an all-pro, I believe they rated him as one of the worst safeties in the league in both of those seasons, actually. I could care less what PFF has to say about Minka Fitzpatrick. I can see it with my own two eyes. What I think what happened with Minka last year and why I think I'm so impressed with what he did last year, he turned into an elite run defender last year. Minka Fitzpatrick for a long time was like, he's scared to tackle. Everybody makes fun of him for the Chubb play and everything, right? This guy doesn't want to get involved in the running game. He had to get involved last year. By brute force, he had to get involved because, those front seven in front of him weren't exactly keeping him clean there in the back. And to his credit, man, Minka Fitzpatrick had – not only did he have the most tackles of any defensive back last year, he had the most – I think he had the fourth most tackles of any defensive back ever. And I know tackles aren't a great stat. I've said this before. The one person I guess you'd have to give it to is the free safety, right? Because it's like if the free safety doesn't make it – if the free safety has to make a tackle and he doesn't make it – what's the alternative?
That's a stat.
That's why I went with the missed tackle percentage. I'm like, if they're missing tackles, that's probably a touchdown.
It's probably a bad deal. Yeah, and I think Minka got so much better in that case. But then, just about him in coverage, again, when I talk about this defense, Minka Fitzpatrick, no. Was he as much of a ball hawk last year? No. But remember, this was secondary a year ago that was replacing Mike Hilton. They had James Pierre for three quarters of the season. And as much as it hurts me to dog on my boy James, right, we know James Pierre just was not starter caliber. That's why he's the fifth
corner. He's no D'Anthony Bell.
Yeah, he's exactly. He's no D'Anthony Bell. But he's the – but he, I mean, essentially, you know, you're talking about James Pierre was a starting corner for this team a year ago in those nickel situations. And this year, you know, he's the fifth corner on the team. And I think, you know, Austin has brought this up, the defensive coordinator for the Steelers, right? How much is he going to free up Minka now that they have some more trust in guys like Akilah Witherspoon and Levi Wallace on the outside? I think Terrell Edmonds is, like, perennially underrated as a player. I understand that he's not – look, he's not a great player, but he's exactly what the Steelers need, a cog in the wheel when it comes to – that's the strong safety that comes down in the box. KZ, I'm interested to see how long he's going to be out for because the Steelers did work on some three safety sets. Now, you know, they did this thing like 3 or 4 years ago where they talked about this dollar defense where they were going to have like seven defensive backs on the field at the same time. They did that in preseason and in training camp. You know how many times they ran that in the regular season? Exactly once. So I don't know if they're actually going to run three safety sets this year. And that's why I have the Steelers one because Minka Fitzpatrick's, you know, to me, I've said this before, best safety in football, right? And then Edmonds behind him. I don't think Edmonds is a bad player. I think Edmonds is fine. And so for me, it's an easy one. I think Minka Fitzpatrick's going to have a much better season this year, given the secondary he's playing alongside. You know, Nate Tice said it best. Nate Tice, who writes for The Athletic, Mike Tice's son, also does a great job on Twitch, by the way. If anyone wants an X's and O's Twitch stream, he does a great All-22 breakdown week after week. Check him out there. He was talking about Derwin James versus Minka Fitzpatrick. Who would you rather have, right? And he said it's a hard choice. He compared it this way. He said if you want a guy who's going to make things hard on the offense, get Derwin James. And if you want a player who's going to fix things for your defense, get Minka Fitzpatrick. And I think that's the perfect analogy. Minka Fitzpatrick has come in and kind of fixed what the Steelers needed from on a year-to-year basis. Last year, it was like, all right, we need someone to fill in run defense because, you know, Joe Schobert and Devin Bush and Henry Mondo aren't getting it done. So, so for me, the Steelers are one. But anyway. That's where we are with the room. I didn't keep track. I think the Bengals. Okay, so just on memory, the Bengals are going to be our unanimous one because you all had them one or two, and I had them three. But that's not going to bring them down.
Daxton Hill.
Number two is the Browns. Ooh, and then three and four between the Ravens. That might be a tie. I'd have to go look, and someone will probably do it in chat. But I think it was Steelers and Ravens, maybe tied for third.
Yeah, super chats.
Yeah, we got to get through some super chats. Professor Chaos, $10 super chat here. Almost forgot. Excuse me. Did you guys see Prime Football? It looks so dumb. It does?
You'll get used to it.
I think I forgot how good Kirk Herbstreit is at calling games. I like Kirk Herbstreit. I'm a college football guy. I love college football.
Only thing about Kirk is he'd be giving quarterbacks credit for breathing. He'd be like, man, that's
who doesn't? You know what I mean? Like the Manning cast does the same thing. You want to talk about John Gruden when he was on Monday Night Football? Like,
hey, man, he had moxie in there when he threw that interception. Yeah. You talk about somebody getting up and going for that tackle. Let me tell you something. That guy's a baller.
Yeah, exactly. Diehard Barton with a $5 super chat says to Ace, are you comfortable with the offensive line depth of the Bengals and which player on the line? We can't afford to lose to injury no matter what.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with it now. I think them adding Max Sharping today definitely made me feel more comfortable. A lot of the guys that were starters last year are now backups, which they should have been last year. So now you actually have some guys that had some experience. I'm glad that they moved Adeniji from guard to tackle because that was a freaking train wreck with him playing guard. Yeah. So I am comfortable. Trey Hill looked a lot better. I think his sophomore season in the preseason. So we actually got to evaluate a lot of that because a lot of the starters did not play outside of Cordell Volson, who I think officially today was announced a starter. As far as depth, I feel good. I'm still worried about left tackle a little bit. Like you have Deontay Smith there. You have Isaiah Prince, Jonah Williams. If something happens there, like, I don't know. After they signed the Max Sharping guy today to be kind of like a swing tackle, I am okay with where their depth is right now.
Yeah, by the way, Volson first matchup.
That's almost called
Connor Hayward.
Oh, that's why I'm like, yep, get him in there against Aaron Donald. Bring Aaron Donald. Yeah, let's go ahead and get this out of the way now. Like, you need to prep, my guy.
Yeah.
Hayward is coming week one.
Cam Hayward week one. It's a terrible matchup for the Steelers, though, but we'll talk about that. Next week, we do our preview show on Wednesday. Born Yesterday, $2 Super Chat says, thoughts on Wingstop?
I think they're beefing with Buffalo Wild Wings.
Lemon pepper, man. I'm a lemon pepper stepper. That's what.
Wait, my do you guys? Okay, so I don't want to. I don't want to rag on any potential sponsor on the show, but I'm not a Wingstop guy. I do not like Wingstop. Actually, their fries. Like, actually, I really.
Wait, are you bone in or bone out wings?
Bone in. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah, child. Gotta, yeah,
I thought this podcast was going to have to end.
Boneless wings are not real. Like, that's boneless, not.
They just get chicken tenders, you coward. You know what I mean? If you go get boneless. Wait,
wings. That night after the live show, we went out to whatever it was, like Frogger's or whatever. One of us did order boneless wings.
Definitely wasn't me. I'll
it
tell
wasn't
you that.
Me. I've never in my life will I order some boneless.
Those are chicken
wings.
Nuggets. I don't call them boneless wings.
Don't put that on me.
Okay. Must have been Sunny.
Must have been Sunny.
I'm not trying to call Sunny. Can't not deny it. Himself. I wouldn't do that to him. No. Not doing that. Ray Rags with a $5 super chat said Fox Sports just tweeted out that the Jags since 2012 has spent $1.4 billion with a B in free agency and have the most losses in that same amount of time.
Bro, it's tough when your team sucks because you got to get somebody to come there to get people excited, but you got to pay so much for some average player to come there that it's just, look, man, I have nothing but sympathy for that because I remember signing Willie McGinnis for like league high money just so we can get, say we got somebody. Like, it's just rough. It's rough.
Yeah.
When you suck, don't nobody want to come there.
Yeah, I mean, it's my old adage here, right? We have the 32 only football franchises in the world, not the 32 best.
Well, and it's like, you know how tough playing football is at the age of a professional football player? Now imagine willingly knowing you're going to sign up for a team that's going to win four games. Like, yeah. It's hard to do. It's hard to do.
It is crazy that people sign with the Browns, but Ray Rags, $5 super chat.
Yeah, we've been third place for a while now, buddy. Okay, you know what I mean?
That's true. Third place last year.
We're always a factor in December. Sometimes it's a tiebreaker.
Ray Rags with a $5 super chat said DeAnthony Bell had two great forced fumbles in the preseason. He was making plays all over the place.
Yeah, Tom Brady don't want nothing to do with DB12. You know what I mean? So I'll leave on that note. DeAnthony Bell.
All right, I'll see you. I like about preseason this year. It counts for everyone but Kenny. It doesn't count for Kenny Pickett. But everyone else preseason, like, oh, this guy was a GOAT in preseason.
No. Kenny Pickett's the GOAT.
Chill.
Kenny Pickett's the GOAT until you know, he loses to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Until then, he's the GOAT. He earned it because he was good in the preseason.
That. I appreciate that, Kim.
I mean, I ain't going to hate. You know, we're going to go crazy.
All right, Ray Rags here with another $5 super chat said, if the Browns offense could have stopped shooting themselves in the foot, that final game between the Bengals could have been easily for the division. Yeah, no doubt. I think I said that throughout the year. I said the Browns are the sleeping giant that could awaken at any point and challenge for the division. Instead, they just continue to be the Browns. So,
right after Quincy left. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yes, let's get more Browns hate super chats in right now while Q's gone. Actually, I think we might be out. Here we go. Brandon Reef. $2 super chat says 17-0, one seed Super Bowl. Who day?
Nah, dog. I need this to be like, what is it? What's the math on that? 20-0? Yeah, we need 20-0. That. Don't end up like the Patriots, dog. Don't end
That's
up.
Right,
like
don't forget. It's a Jesse Bates stat. All right, we need that. The playoffs matter more than regular season. All right, the 3-0 in January is maybe more important than the
way more important.
Yeah. All right, that's gonna do it for us tonight. Thank you all for watching. We're coming back with Monday, Wednesday next week. So Monday and Wednesday. Yeah. So Monday is going to be kind of a season preview, hot takes. You know, we'll talk about where we think this division is going to play out, where the records are going to shake out in the division. And then Wednesday's show next week will be the traditional preview show. We'll go through each of the matchups. We have a marquee matchup in the AFC North to start the year right here. These two. Yeah, it's right here. It's a big game. Cincinnati against the Pittsburgh Steelers week one. So be back with us then. Thank you all for watching. We'll see you then.